Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a tale of spiritual communication, spiritual awakenings, healing, miracles, and of course a guide to your inner soul awareness. I am most delighted today to welcome Barbara Mulvey Little, co-author of Opening Hearts with Dr. Lester Savage, a cardiovascular surgeon who hoped to leave a healing legacy to readers. Hello, Barbara, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Cheryl. It's my honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Barbara, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I share our experiences and passions in order to share the truth about our being, our multi-dimensional layers of life, reaching beyond the physical realm to engage and work with universal forces and laws that help us balance and honor our dual nature as both spiritual and physical beings in search of health, prosperity, love, and happiness. In today's episode, Barbara will share the enduring healing legacy that Dr. Lester Savage wished to share with readers in the book he co-authored with her during the last 18 months of his life. One of the book's primary topics, the spirituality of consciously choosing love no matter what challenges are faced, shows readers that a faith-filled life was tremendously valued by him and proved to be, for his many patients, his greatest gift. He performed over 10,000 surgeries and helped his patients bring to their consciousness and awareness a motivation to live and to heal. Barbara Mulvey Little is an author, editor, and has written Scripture and Meditations for the Rosary and 3-1, Parents' Stories of Love and Loss. Barbara, I always love to ask my guests to take a little trip back to their childhood and remember a person, place, event, or an interest that might have shown them or others in their life what their life path and the values they would have as an adult, because I believe the blueprint of the soul for our destiny is present at the very beginning. So think back for a minute.
You know, that my earliest memory of what I wanted to do when I was a small girl, maybe 8 years old, is I wanted to be a doctor. And not just any doctor. I wanted to be an obstetrician. I wanted to be a baby doctor. Mm. And my parents had gotten me this wonderful, wonderful, I don't know if you remember, the invisible man, woman. They were, it was a kit that you could put together. You'd paint all the pieces. It was the human body. And mine came with a baby, and I desperately wanted to be a doctor. And I let something happen in high school that turned me away from that course, but I never turned away from the idea that healing was probably one of the most important things that a human being could do, because I think a lot of us are very wounded without really knowing what the wound means.
Yes, you are a healer, and you are someone of great faith, and you did get to work with an amazing doctor. So, in a way, your destiny was taking you in the right direction, and that's
it
what
was.
I'd like our listeners out there to remember that. Sometimes we think we're taken off our true path, but nothing is random, and everything, and there's no failure, of course. So everything has a purpose and a meaning to our discovering our inner life and to helping other people and to valuing life. So I think that's what healing, true healing, is about. It's about understanding we're a soul and we're a human being at the same time, that duality. And when you come to understand that and work together with those two parts of yourself, then you can have a really an amazing life. So that's interesting what you just said. Now, how did you connect with Dr. Savage? And do you believe it was random, a coincidence, or something else?
Oh, I think it was something else. Absolutely. Dr. Savage was working on this book for 10 years before I met him. And in those same 10 years, I had been fired from a job that I thought was a perfect job for me and came around to looking at, it's funny you asked that question about my childhood, because I looked back at my childhood. What are the things, what are the gifts that I was uniquely given, and how are they playing out in my life? I was in my 50s at the time, had raised my three children, and I'd lost this job that I thought was perfect for me. And so I looked at all the things that I had done, and I finally decided, okay, writing was one of the things that God gave me as a gift. It comes easier to me than it does to most people. I enjoy it. I really love it. Most people hate it. And what did I want to write about? I wanted to write about the intersection of spirituality and healing. So I started taking workshops and classes, and I went to editing school, and I did all of these things, moved to three different states in the meantime in that 10-year period, and ended up in Seattle. And my dentist was Dr. Savage's son, son-in-law. He was his son-in-law. And I went to this dentist, who was a wonderful dentist. And when he retired because of an illness that he had, and he couldn't continue to practice. And I called him up, and I said, you know, my husband and I have both lost a few jobs. Our lives haven't quite gone on the trajectory we thought. Would you like to talk about it? And so we talked about, we started meeting for coffee, and we had some very similar ideas about where life takes you. And so Dr. Savage's book was, he had actually created a different book initially, and it just didn't reflect who he was. His children and Dr. Huddleston, who was my dentist, were kind of beside themselves. How did they get this? They knew how important it was to their dad. One night, Paul was lying in bed thinking about this, and he said, my name came into his mind, and he suddenly relaxed. He went to sleep, and his plan was to call me the next morning. That morning, I had just finished a 21-day meditation about the next chapter in my life. And I said to God that morning, I surrender to whatever path you choose for me.
He already, Paul, his son, already had a whisper from somebody in spirit, whether it was an angel or a relative or God himself. The plan and the die was cast. So that's this beauty of life. People are so busy trying to control all aspects of their life and their children's life. And really, there is nothing that is in our control except the choices we make and the way we relate to people and the love we share. That is within our power, and that's what free will is about. But the experiences and the people and jobs we have are all there as part of a individual plan, and actually as a bigger collective plan, because the energy we give off is helping everyone else around us in many ways that we can't know at the moment. So I think that's a wonderful story, and just to, it goes to the point of what this show is all about. This show is about allowing, accepting, and surrendering to whatever challenge we have in life, because nothing is good and nothing is bad. It is only a way for our soul to explore this physical life. But let's go on to what in your thoughts made him such an extraordinary doctor. Now, I've read the book, and I know he was a true healer. He was a missionary. He was a leader. He was a lover of God. And I'm always, as I said to you earlier before the show started, I am always delighted when I meet or read about a doctor who truly understands the true meaning of healing, which is not only our physical body, but our soul and our spirit and our mind, our emotions. So I truly love the book. And so please tell me why you knew him, why you thought he was such an extraordinary doctor.
Well, he never wavered from this sense that his mission in life was to serve God by doing the best with the gifts God had given him. which happened to be an incredible mind that could learn and observe and understand, and incredible surgical technique. I've spoken with other doctors that worked with him, and one told me he had the finest technique, bar none. And if you go back into the early 60s when he started practicing, heart surgery was a completely different thing. And he developed many, many of the techniques that we have today that help people to live longer, that heal their bodies. But one of the things he observed very early on in his practice was that he could keep fixing people mechanically, could fix their hearts, he could fix their veins and all of that other stuff. But unless they understood that they were more than just a body, that they were an emotional being, a spiritual being, and that their mind was all one with their body, that he could keep fixing things, and if they didn't change how they perceived their lives, they would keep coming back, because he understood very early on that a broken heart was a symptom of something deeper. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was either, you know, and he began to understand that lifestyle mattered. Part of that lifestyle is eating well and exercising and all that, but stress and emotional pain were ways that people's hearts literally began to break. So when he saw that, he thought when he was 16 and in college already that he might want to be a priest. But he realized, no, God gave him these other skills, but he never lost that sense that God was connected to everything he did, and that everything he did was in service to, at service based on the great gifts he had been given. He served in gratitude. And so when he started to recognize that it was beyond the physical nature, he couldn't not help people in that way too. And he understood that he had people kind of at a very vulnerable time in their lives, but he was very gentle with them. I mean, he even washed his patient's hair in order to connect with them, in order to let them know how much they were loved. He would feed them. He would get up in the middle of the night to talk to them when they were afraid before surgery. So everything he did was based on the love that he was trying to share, because he recognized love is the essential ingredient.
I think he also loved life, and he was grateful that he had found a calling. He could have been both a priest and a doctor at the same time, because there's very little difference between someone who loves the soul and wants to heal the soul and someone who wants to heal the body. And I think what he wanted to give his patients was a feeling that they needed to be grateful for their life. And once they were well physically, they had to find what really made their heart sing, or the passion in their heart and the joy in life, and to create a better life, a more joyful, happy life. And you can't do that without faith, and you can't do that without understanding you have a soul. So he was actually helping people rediscover their soul and the beauty of life. And I like that very much. And he also wrote in the book that he believed optimal health incorporates a vital body, an active mind, and a vibrant spirit, because life is not merely a physical process or an intellectual exercise. Within his definition of optimal health, he also included those with physical or mental challenges. It is not perfection, he said, yes, it is not perfection that defines optimal health, but rather a dynamic and responsive engagement in life, even within our challenges. And that's so important, that no matter what happens, if we engage in life and do the best we can, we've already fulfilled our destiny here, for the soul to grow and for us to remember love in its totality. Why was this experience so rewarding for you?
Oh, it was so rewarding on many levels. And it was interesting, when Paul first invited me to be a part of this project. He said that, you know, what they needed was the book rewritten, but they also needed companionship for Dr. Savage. And I knew I could do the writing part, the editing part, but I wasn't really sure if I wanted the companionship part because it seemed like it was going to be a huge responsibility. And it didn't take long for me to realize that being in this man's presence was a healing gift for me based on what had been happening in my life in the years previous. But it was also an honor to help him, to be his scribe, essentially, was a great honor. So if companionship, and it turns out I really liked him. He was a fun guy. He had the most loving and expressive eyes. He was so kind. And so intense, but I learned so much just watching him and watching how he responded to his wife. His wife was had lost a great deal of functioning due to Alzheimer's disease, but he loved and cared for her with such grace and such tenderness. She was his everything forever, and she was a big part of the reason, and he will say she was a big part of the reason he was as successful as he was, because she loved him completely, and it gave him the strength to do everything else he did. But as she was dying, he wanted to outlive her so that he could take care of her until she died.
He did.
5 months. Well, and it would have been even shorter had he not had this book to finish. After she died, I was asked by the family to be with him every day. I had been with him most days previous to that, but I would take a day or two during the week to work on the book and then bring him the work that I was doing. And initially, we were in an office together, just the two of us working, but once his wife became so ill, we worked right next to her bed so that he could take care of her. And it was really very beautiful to watch him and his children. They had 8 children between them, Dr. Savage and his wife, and every single one of them is an extraordinary person. You can see what I observed was how love grows when it's an intentional focus in your life. Taking care of your own self and then taking care of others based on the gratitude for all the gifts that you've been given in life. And no matter what your circumstance, you've been gifted. And this is what Dr. Savage looked at the human body as the most extraordinary gift that God could give us.
For readers who will read your book, they will see that a great deal of an understanding of the body and the world and what life needs to fulfill itself, both in spirit and in the physical realm, are present. He was also trying to show that there really is a higher presence and to be, and he does show it in explaining the beauty of the body and how the universe works, and it was very wonderful. And I'd like to read this because he received an endorsement from Mother Teresa, and I found it so lovely that I'd like to read it. So she wrote, Mother Teresa wrote, "God love you for the beautiful way you bring his love into the lives of patients you serve. You have given not only your hands to serve, but your heart to love with kindness and humility. In doing so, you touch God himself. The practice of medicine can become real love in action, not just curing bodies, but helping people to know the joy of loving, of giving, and of being loved in return. And that's all we're here on this earth to do, to experience love in, you know, when I was young, I had a sister who was very poetic and artistic. And she used to talk about unconditional love. And I was a very practical, good, you know, intellectual student and very much in the world at that time. And it was before I discovered my intuitive healing gifts and mediumship and all the things that I'm so thankful to have discovered about who we are as souls having a physical life. And so she would always say, unconditional love, that's all there is.
Absolutely.
And I would
And
not
go ahead.
understand it as I do now.
One of the things that, Dr. Savage knew that love was the basic building block of life. And that's, in God's love, God created these beautiful, wonderful bodies that we all have that work so perfectly. Even when they're not working right, there's such a balance to them and such a wonder to them. And he never, never lost that sense of wonderment. And what he wanted was people to understand that in response to this gift of this wonderful body, our response is to love it. And, one of the problems in the world as it exists now is Jesus said many ages ago, and other people have said the same thing, love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the problems is we actually do. So few people fully love themselves, are fully aware and making conscious, loving choices for their bodies and for their spirits and for their minds. And when we choose to do that, it changes our lives, because when we fill up our own needs and don't look outside for other people to fill our needs, when we're able to love ourselves and accept ourselves and nourish our gifts and accept our foibles, when we can do that, we can do the same for another human being as well. And
Absolutely.
that's
Absolutely.
where he wanted people to get, is that, okay, this illness that you have right now is a wake-up call. It's calling you to love yourself. And once you do, then you'll have the strength and the courage and the ability to love others.
Well, that's why there are miraculous healings. There are people who are told that
Absolutely.
they will die in 3 months and they go on to live another 30 years because they
Yep.
themselves, their soul and their mind make a connection and they change their perception and their way of thinking and they ask for help from above. You have to ask for what you
Absolutely.
need. You cannot just rely on the outside world to provide what your inside soul needs. Now, what did Dr. Savage believe happiness was? And I think all metaphysicians and men of theology, spiritualists, all people who seek an answer to who we are and why are we here, want to find out and talk more about happiness and how we find it. So what do you think he thought about that?
Happiness is not something that can be sought in and of itself. It's a consequence of choosing love for yourself and choosing love for others. And if you seek happiness in and of itself, it's like chasing butterflies. They flit this way and that, and you never actually catch them unless you have a big net. But if you sit still and send out that energy that says to the butterfly, you're no danger, a butterfly might very well come and land on you.
That's actually right. And when you just said that, I remembered my daughter when she was about 5 years old, and she would stand outside very, very still, and the butterflies would come and land on her. Sometimes
She
more than
invited them
one.
in.
She was open. She was open to possibilities and creation and joy. And
Absolutely.
she was a
Yep.
professional actress for 10 years and brought a lot of joy to a lot of people with the work she did. Now, I wrote in my book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, since we're talking about love. In regard to happiness, I wrote this. Since I receive intuitive messages for my clients, many of them have asked me, how can I find peace and happiness in my life? This is the answer I give them. Before there can be peace and happiness in a person's life and in the world, every person must be responsible to do their own work and acknowledge what needs to change within their attitudes or perceptions so they may better relate to the outer world. Finding true happiness and joy is the natural outcome of self-investigation. There are no shortcuts. No one can make you happy or unhappy unless you give him or her the power to do that by surrendering or giving your own soul power away. So it's exactly what you said. You can't search for it. You have to become it. You have to become love.
Absolutely.
And draw that energy to you. Beautifully said. What would you like readers to take away from Opening Hearts, most briefly?
That they have the power to heal whatever it is that causes them difficulty in their life. All of us are healers. Dr. Savage said it himself. We all hold hearts in our hands. He did it literally. We all do it figuratively.
So, yes, our words and our actions and our behaviors are very important. And thinking before you react, being positive instead of reactive, proactive instead of reactive, is absolutely a way to change the world.
One more thing, that spiritual awareness enables us to make conscious choices.
Yes.
For body, mind, and spirit.
I want to thank you, Barbara Mulvey Little, for your tireless efforts to share Dr. Savage's deep felt heart-based love of life and spirit as he discovered the purpose for his life and indeed hopefully all of us to eventually find. And that is, as evolving souls, we incarnate to remember who we are and where we come from, and to live a purposeful life that ultimately results in refining our soul energy and living consciously. For more information and to purchase this deeply moving book, sharing true healing philosophies, go to BarbaraMulveyLittle.com or BetterLifePress.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have followed Dr. Lester Savage's lifetime search for answers to what is the purpose of my life? How can I live a life of meaning? What is happiness and how do I find it? What do my actions reveal about whom or what I love? And why does it all matter? Dr. Savage was blessed to find truthful answers as a result of his wonderful life. He lived with compassion and love and healing, and he shared this passion. He served spirit no matter how hard the challenges were, and he always retained the courage and fortitude to use his spiritual gifts and serve others. Barbara and I would have you remember to look within and discover a rainbow of beauty, hope, healing, and love for yourself, and also discover the world so you can serve others and delight in the physical beauties that are right in front of your eyes. Children, music, art, nature, all gifts from above for us to know that we live within the divine and the divine lives within us. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about the physical and metaphysical realms of life as they support our personal growth and help us share a multitude of possibilities for human and spiritual evolution and change. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.